WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We will talk about the big controversies in the world today, from the war in Libya to the bike lane on Prospect Park West. But let's start with inflation hitting more and more of us every day. Yesterday, we did a call-in for small business owners and how you are seeing inflation in your business. It was fascinating, and here is a highly compressed sampling of what we got.
My family and I own Princeton Airport, and the last load of fuel that came a week ago Monday was 70 cents a gallon higher than the previous load.
And now it has gone even higher. So we can't pass the cost to the customers because we're going to lose the customers.
The flow of business right now, everything's increasing. Gas prices, of course, number one.
We currently sell primarily packaged granolas. When our nut prices go up, which we've seen them go up maybe 25-30% in some cases. Delivery costs for shipping, we're starting to get hit with 20% fuel surcharges.
I have a retail major appliance store. Major manufacturers have increased pricing 8-10%. This is absolutely going to have to be passed on to my customers.
Business owners calling in yesterday, and that was so revealing that we decided to follow up and ask for consumers to call in today, and that means you for our first few minutes. So back with us now is WNYC Business and Economics Editor Charlie Herman. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, the phones are open. Just call up and tell us where inflation is biting you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We're only going to do this for about 10 minutes, so call right up. You'll get right on. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or you can post it to our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let's just take an inventory of where inflation is rearing its ugly head in our listening area, at the gas pumps, of course. And where else? What's going up? Where is it hitting home now that people are complaining about rising prices that we notice and feel? Rising prices for you. 212-433-WNYC. Inflation in your life. Where is it? 212. And our lines are full. 433-9692. But we'll try to go through a lot of calls. So as people finish up, you know, keep calling and you'll get in behind other people as they finish up. 212-433-9692. And Charlie, as the calls are coming in, what did you learn yesterday from our business owners? That was fascinating, wasn't it?
It was fascinating because what you heard from them is what you often hear that companies and business owners have to do when they see these higher prices. They have to find ways to compensate for these prices. They don't want to pass it on right away to consumers because they know that consumers may just decide to go elsewhere or not make a purchase at all. And I think that that really concretely showed why the job issue is still – why we have such high unemployment is that there are still these higher prices, that companies are hesitant to bring on more people if they're afraid that they're going to get walloped with the higher prices along the way.
And we heard from at least one who said layoffs were the result.
Others said that they weren't hiring people.
Right. And some are passing on higher prices if they feel they have no choice. And remind us why this is not just a report on the bite of inflation on its own terms, but a policy issue. It has at least to do with Ben Bernanke, right?
It has to do with what the Federal Reserve is doing with some of their policies to flood the economy, as it were, with money to try and keep liquidity, money flowing in the system. And this is what a lot of people complain about, is this idea that, well, the money is maybe out there, but are the banks holding on to it? Is enough of it actually trickling down to the level where people are actually hiring people, where they're actually using that money to expand businesses? There's still a lot of worries there. So so there is this policy concern. There's a lot of worries that, especially by some of the Republicans on Capitol Hill and other Republican leaders, that what the Fed is doing is actually encouraging inflation, or that while the dollar is weakening, and that may be a good thing for exporting U.S. items overseas, and that could grow the economy, it also means that items we import are more expensive, and therefore you see inflation there because these electronics that you import from other parts of the world could be more expensive.
Lou in Brooklyn, where is inflation biting you? Hi, Lou.
Hi, good morning. Inflation is biting me in traveling. It's probably a pretty obvious thing, but I find traveling, plane travel, especially, I know that tickets have gone up, the prices have gone up a lot, and I don't think it's going up in relative to the price of fuel that's gone up. I think that they just feel money.
They what? They just, you cut out for just a second. They what? They feel entitled to more money?
They feel they could get more money. They could charge more, and people are still good.
One of the things that's happened with the airlines in particular is that, yes, they are seeing higher fuel costs, and so they are adding on fuel charges, but they're also in a bit of a sweet spot that for the first time they have maybe a little bit more control over prices, in the sense of they don't have so many airplanes and empty seats out there, and the demand in a way is perhaps greater than the supply, and so as a result they do have some greater control over the amount of money that they can charge, whereas in the past they had tons of planes and empty seats, and therefore they had to offer lower prices to try and fill them.
And we lost Lou. You could hear his line breaking up before he actually finished his thought, which I think Al is going to complete in Brooklyn, and it really raises an issue. Al, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Good. Where's inflation biting you?
First time call. I hope this can make some sense, but I believe those oil companies are really price gouging too much, to the fact of that when I started driving back in 1990, I believe gas was about a dollar some change. What is the big difference from that time till now, why the prices has to go up that much? And I think they owe us an apology, and they need to give back to the consumer as we are trying to, you know, keep our economy running strong.
Al, thank you very much. Now, as the price of oil goes up, in part because of unrest in the Middle East and the fear that there's going to be short supply,
And growing demand around the world for that short supply,
as there's more of a middle class in China and India and so forth.
Whenever we see prices go up like that, I mean, no one's satisfied with the price, and it's very understandable because that's one of the places where it's really the most noticeable price indicator. You can see the change on a daily, even an hourly basis, it sometimes feels like. There have been a lot of investigations that have looked into this issue of price gouging. This happened in 2008 when we saw the record oil prices. This happened after Katrina. A lot of Hurricane Katrina damaged a lot of facilities down in that part of the U.S.
Do we know? How do we know if they're taking, let's say, a 15-cent a gallon increase in their costs and not making it 18 cents a gallon, passing it on to the consumers or to the gas stations?
You know, it is hard to track specifically, you know, if they see a dollar increase, how much specifically that'll mean that they will increase or prices will increase. I mean, you will see some rule of thumbs, you know, for every increase of a dollar in gasoline or in the price of oil, you'll see gasoline prices go up a certain amount. But the thing is proving gouging is really hard. There's so many different parts along the supply chain, from when the oil is actually pulled out of the ground to the point where it arrives in your gas station. And there are many economists who will actually say things that the problem is that the price of gas, if people won't want to hear this, is actually too low in the U.S. That because it doesn't actually reflect the price of what it actually costs to get the oil out of the ground and turn it into gasoline, that if it were even more expensive, people would be more efficient and use it better. But, you know, we don't have that here, yeah. And that would cause a lot of consternation.
Before we get off this and hear from a lot of other people about other things that are going up in price in their lives, someone suggested to me the other day that as a matter of patriotism, a company like ExxonMobil, which is maybe the most, do you know, as economics editor and business editor, is that the most profitable company in the world right now?
The numbers change. It's sort of the biggest company goes between Walmart and Exxon. They usually go head to head and who's leading.
So Walmart, whatever else we may think of them, does everything it can possibly do to push down prices as low as they can possibly go
right. Every
day. What one of our colleagues here at the station suggested to me the other day was, why can't ExxonMobil, as a matter of patriotism, just take a little bit less profit for a while? So less of a percentage profit, that still be making, you know, a gazillion billion dollars a year for their shareholders, while oil is spiking during this moment of fear in the Middle East?
Well, one of the concerns would be that if they were to take that money and basically suppress the price of oil instead of suppress the price of gasoline instead of keeping it at the average price it is now of $3.56 and say keep it down at $2.50, if they could do that, what that actually would do would encourage people to drive more. That would encourage people to consume even more, which that would then lead to basically a situation where the limited supply that we have would get used up even faster. And that would lead to the fact that the oil prices would continue to go even higher.
That's a very philosophical answer, though. Do they think at that level? Maybe an economist thinks at that level. But you know, we think, wait a minute, we just want to be able to, you know, drive or fly or buy the things that have to be shipped to us at the same level that we do now.
But if you look at many countries in the Middle East, they actually offer subsidies to their residents to keep oil prices incredibly low. And so that's why there's a lot of waste and inefficiency in how it's used. I mean, I completely sympathize, but the idea of keeping prices sufficiently lower would actually encourage consumption. And what we saw was people started to change their behavior. We had more fuel-efficient vehicles. People were starting to trade in their clunkers for new, more efficient cars when gas prices soared, and that was a more efficient use of the gasoline. So I think if you had a choice between $4 a gallon and $2 a gallon, I bet you'd drive a lot less if it were at $4 and drive a lot more if it were at $2.
All right. Well, I am tempted. We could run down this rabbit hole forever and ever. Lou and Al, thank you for starting us off and pushing us in that interesting direction. But back to many more of you on where else you're seeing inflation in your life. Karen in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Where is inflation biting you?
Well, I never buy coffee out. I always make it at home to save money. I'm not a Starbucks kind of person. And this past weekend, I went to the store where I buy my beans, and they actually had signage apologizing for their increase in coffee costs due to the production and importation price increases. And that's where I really noticed it.
Right in the coffee beans. Karen, thanks a lot. How about that? Starbucks apologizing for price increases.
It's a lot of places. So I was just at Joe's Coffee, and they had a similar sign as well. Starbucks just announced that the coffee that they sell in stores, not the Starbucks stores, but if you go to, say, a Target or something.
Mm-hmm. To buy the package.
They're increasing that by about 12%. I mean, this is...
Why coffee?
A bunch of reasons. There's growing demand. It's a bit like oil. There's growing demand around the world in places like India and China.
You move off the farm and become a factory worker and you start dosing with coffee in the morning.
You start drinking coffee, and also sort of people want to emulate what's happening, what the U.S. culture. We drink coffee here. So you're seeing that in other parts of the world. There was a very strong push in Brazil, which is one of the world's largest coffee producers, to actually consume more coffee. That was very successful, especially as there's been a growing middle class in Brazil. There's also been some climate issues in places like Colombia and El Salvador that have actually affected the crops from those regions. If you wonder why I know so much about coffee, I drink a lot of it and have done some reporting on this. And it's very much sort of this, it is like oil, like a lot of other commodities out there, really reflects this supply and demand issue that you can see at the level of when you go to the coffee store and see a 2-3 cent increase.
Yeah, and one of our producers says she got charged another $2 over what she had been paying for coffee. I'm not sure if that's for a very high-end cup or if that's for a pound or what. By a place that's specifically cited to her, the Colombian coffee crisis.
They've had some climate issues there, more rain than is necessary. And the thing about coffee is when you plant it, when you plant a new tree, it takes several years, maybe 5 years, before you actually start seeing beans on it. So it's not something that you can just run out and plant a bunch of coffee trees and have beans by the next year.
All right. Judith and Chelsea, where are you feeling inflation?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. In fresh produce, particularly in lettuces, it's been really remarkable how they've gone up in price this year exponentially. Romaine lettuce usually is, where I buy it, is usually 99 cents to $1.25 a head, and this week it was $1.99 a head.
Big jump. Judith, thank you. Doreen in Arlington, where are you seeing inflation in your life?
I'm seeing it in a lot of places. I see that my land taxes have gone up $2,000 over the last couple of years. I was listening to the oil conversation and got out my oil ticket from the deliveries, and per gallon, per unit price in November, it was $3.39 a gallon.
For your home heating
in,
oil.
In January it was $3.49, and then just this past month it's up to $3.75.
Wow.
I don't mind, and I bought a Honda Fit. I bought a smaller car. I keep my house at 60 during the day, that kind of thing. So I've made concessions, which I don't have a problem with. And I've even noticed that at the grocery store, organic produce now is more in line with pricing of our imported vegetables and things like that, because I guess they don't have to do the shipping and it's more local.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
That's a really interesting point, that if it's locally sourced, it may cost you a little bit more because of all the labor that goes into it versus blueberries that are brought in from, say, Chile or something like that. But if it now costs a lot of money to ship it, they're going to charge more. And that's a really interesting observation that you're seeing those prices come equal to each other.
Thanks, Doreen. I wonder how many people are kicking themselves for not taking the winter home heating oil prepaid price rather than going with the market last year. Daniel in Newburgh, you're on WNYC. Where are you being hit by inflation, Daniel? Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Where I'm getting it is I'm an independent contractor doing drywall and painting, and especially in the paint department, price of paint gallons are $10 more than they were 2 years ago. So when I go and view a bid, people look at it and go, well, this is too expensive, and take the most cheapest person they can possibly get. Whereas I try my best to give them the best work they can possibly get.
Why paint? Daniel, why paint? Why do you think?
I think it costs more because they have to use more oil and what such to make the materials. Plus, they have to also use that stuff to make the tools.
Thank you very much.
You know, paint is interesting. There was one economist who I'd spoken to a while ago who there's a particular chemical that goes into white paint. It's used in a lot of other materials as well, but he sort of looked at that as an indicator of could the economy be doing better when you see an increase in demand for it, because this chemical, it sort of makes this base white color that is used in so much paint. It's clear that this is a place where you're going to start seeing some of the increase in costs. It's a petroleum-based product. As oil prices have been going up steadily, that you'll see those higher prices.
Batya in Wilton, you're on WNYC. Where are you seeing inflation, Batya?
You know, in the supermarket, but in addition to the cost of items, it drives me crazy that everything is smaller now. It used to be a can of tuna would make two sandwiches, and now it's like one sandwich and a little bit. Orange juice containers are smaller, and yogurt, everything just feels smaller.
Or that you see coffee, that it used to be maybe a pound, and then now it's harder to find what the actual size of the coffee bag that you're getting, like how many beans you actually get in there, but the price itself actually it stays constant, but the amount of beans you're getting is smaller.
Fran in Westchester, where's the inflation?
It's in health insurance. My company pays for me, but I have to pay for the rest of my family, and it's a total of about $18,000 a year for health insurance, which is as much as some people's salary, as much as
indeed
some people's mortgage payments. And
how much did it?
That it's going up again.
How much did it go up this year?
This year it went up about $200 a month, and we just got a notice that it's going up another like 10 or 12%.
You know, next hour we have one of the top Obama health reform officials on. With this health reform law now 1 year old as of today, what would you want me to ask her on behalf of your situation? Anything?
Does it really correspond with what the actual costs are? I don't understand how people can really afford to pay $18,000 a year in health insurance, and I know I'm not alone. You know, it's so much money. It's really ridiculous. And then you have to worry that they're going to cover, you know, something if something goes wrong with you. I'm happy that they raised the age of, you know, children to 26, and that there's going to be no look back. But we all have to have health insurance, and this amount is crazy. Is it really correspond with what they really need?
Fran, thank you. We're gonna play your attention tape editors. We are going to replay your phone call for Rima Cohen from Obama's Health and Human Services Department after the 11 o'clock news, and we'll try to get you an actual answer, okay?
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you very much.
You know, one thing that it stuck out to me in a lot of these conversations is that while we're seeing inflation increase slightly, we're not seeing wages go up equivalently by the same amount. So you're actually, in a way, seeing the last report, real earnings actually fell from January to February because they stayed flat. And since inflation went up and your income didn't change, you basically got a bit of a pay cut. So I think what we're seeing is not only some rising prices, but we're not seeing our incomes going up with it as well. So that adds to the sense of, wow, we're paying, not only are we paying a lot more, but we feel like we have less to pay with because our incomes have not been keeping up.
And it does have political implications. The new Pew poll that we also talked about on yesterday's show found rising prices eating into jobs as Americans' number one economic concern. Politicians will have to address it, as well as people in our lives and in our businesses. Charlie Herman, WNYC Business and Economics Editor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will try to unpack the very complicated but very fascinating politics of who should lead the war in Libya and who should fight in it. In this corner, Muammar Gaddafi. In this corner, a motley collection of international organizations, individuals, and heads of state. Stay with us.